Today is the 12th day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is great to be here with you today as we draw to the close of another one of our weeks that we spend, one of the 52 that we spend, together in community on a voyage across a year and through the entire Bible. So we get to the end of the week, we mark it, and we remember, we look back at how things went, how our thoughts, words, and choices and actions added up to the week. So let's take a moment just to kind of reflect back as we center ourselves for today and what the scriptures might bring to us. Knowing that as we step into tomorrow, it's a brand new, shiny, sparkly week. But this is a moment to review. And so I am grateful to be able to do that with you. And I am grateful to step forward in the scriptures together today. We are in the book of 1 Chronicles, working our way through 1 Chronicles. And then when we get to the New Testament, we will be beginning a brand new kind of set of books that are actually letters. The one that we're going into, and we'll talk about it when we get there, is a lengthy letter from the Apostle Paul known as Romans. But first, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 19 through 14, verse 17. Some Manassites defected to David when he went with the Philistines to fight against Saul. However, they did not help the Philistines because the Philistine rulers sent David away after a discussion. They said, "It will be our heads if he defects to his master Saul." When David went to Ziklag, some men from Manasseh defected to him: Adnah, Jozabad, Jediel, Michael, Jozabad, Elihu, and Ziletai, chiefs of thousands in Manasseh. They helped David against the raiders, for they were all valiant warriors and commanders in the army. At that time, men came day after day to help David until there was a great army, like an army of God. The numbers of the armed troops who came to David at Hebron to turn Saul's kingdom over to him, according to the Lord's word, were as follows. From the Judahites, 6,800 armed troops bearing shields and spears. From the Simeonites, 7,100 valiant warriors ready for war. From the Levites, 4,600 in addition to Jehoiada, leader of the house of Aaron, with 3,700 men. And Zadok, a young valiant warrior with 22 commanders from his ancestral family. From the Benjaminites, the relatives of Saul, 3,000. Up to that time, the majority of the Benjaminites maintained their allegiance to the house of Saul. From the Ephraimites, 20,800, valiant warriors who were famous men in their ancestral families. From half the tribe of Manasseh, 18,000 designated by name to come and make David king. From the Issacharites, who understood the times and knew what Israel should do, 200 chiefs with all their relatives under their command. From Zebulun, 50,000 who could serve in the army, trained for battle with all kinds of weapons of war, with one purpose: to help David. From Naphtali, 1,000 commanders accompanied by 37,000 men with shield and spear. From the Danites, 28,600 trained for battle. From Asher, 40,000 who could serve in the army, trained for battle. From across the Jordan, from the Reubenites, Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, 120,000 men equipped with all the military weapons of war. All these warriors, lined up in battle formation, came to Hebron wholeheartedly determined to make David king over all Israel. All the rest of Israel was also of one mind to make David king. They spent 3 days there, eating and drinking with David, for their relatives had provided for them. In addition, their neighbors from as far away as Issachar, Zebulun, and Naphtali came and brought food on donkeys, camels, mules, and oxen. Abundant provisions of flour, fig cakes, raisins, wine, and oil, herds and flocks. Indeed, there was joy in Israel. David consulted with all his leaders, the commanders of hundreds and of thousands. Then he said to the whole assembly of Israel, "If it seems good to you, and if this is from the Lord our God, let's spread out and send the message to the rest of our relatives in all the districts of Israel, including the priests and Levites in their cities with pasture lands, that they should gather together with us. Then let's bring back the ark of our God, for we did not inquire of him in Saul's days." Since the proposal seemed right to all the people, the whole assembly agreed to do it. So David assembled all Israel from Shihor of Egypt to the entrance of Hamath to bring the Ark of God from Kiriath Jearim. David and all Israel went to Baalah, that is Kiriath Jearim, that belongs to Judah, to take from there the Ark of God, which bears the name of the Lord who is enthroned between the cherubim. At Abinadab's house, they set the Ark of God on a new cart. Uzzah and Ahio were guiding the cart. David and all Israel were dancing with all their might before God with songs and with lyres, harps, tambourines, cymbals, and trumpets. When they came to Kidon's threshing floor, Uzzah reached out to hold the ark because the oxen had stumbled. Then the Lord's anger burned against Uzzah, and he struck him dead because he had reached out to the ark. So he died there in the presence of God. David was angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah. So he named that place Outburst Against Uzzah, as it is still named today. David feared God that day and said, "How can I ever bring the Ark of God to me?" So David did not bring the Ark of God home to the city of David. Instead, he diverted it to the house of Obed-Edom of Gath. The Ark of God remained with Obed-Edom's family in his house for 3 months. And the Lord blessed his family and all that he had. King Hiram of Tyre sent envoys to David along with cedar logs, stonemasons, and carpenters to build a palace for him. Then David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that his kingdom had been exalted for the sake of his people, Israel. David took more wives in Jerusalem, and he became the father of more sons and daughters. These are the names of the children born to him in Jerusalem: Shammua, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Ibhar, Elishua, Elpelet, Noga, Nepheg, Japhia, Elishama, Beeliada, and Eliphelet. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, they all went in search of David. When David heard of this, he went out to face them. Now the Philistines had come and raided in Rephaim Valley, so David inquired of God, "Should I attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me?" The Lord replied, "Attack, and I will hand them over to you." So the Israelites went up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated the Philistines there. Then David said, "Like a bursting flood, God has used me to burst out against my enemies." Therefore they named that place, "The Lord Bursts Out." The Philistines abandoned their idols there, and David ordered that they be burned in the fire. Once again, the Philistines raided in the valley. So David again inquired of God, and God answered him, "Do not pursue them directly. Circle around them and attack them opposite the balsam trees. When you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then go out to battle, for God will have gone out ahead of you to strike down the army of the Philistines." So David did as God commanded him, and they struck down the Philistine army from Gibeon to Gezer. Then David's fame spread throughout the lands, and the Lord caused all the nations to be terrified of him. Okay, so we have completed the book of Acts, and as we navigated through the book of Acts, we got to understand the Apostle Peter, but we also got to know the Apostle Paul and his conversion and his missionary journeys and his passion for the gospel. And so we journeyed on land and by sea all over the Roman Empire with him and experienced what it's like, what it actually looks like to try to bring light into darkness when it is counterintuitive and forces one to look inside their own hearts. That is the leading edge and the struggle between light and darkness. That is so much of our journey through the Bible, is to look at our own selves in the mirror. So today, we're turning the page and we're beginning what is known as the Book of Romans. It's actually the first of many of Paul's letters that are recorded in the New Testament. And most biblical scholars would agree that the letter to the Romans is the most comprehensive work of Paul. So much of Christian theological understanding of Jesus and the work of Christ has its origin in this letter, which was probably written from the city of Corinth, where some of the largest missionary work that Paul did had been accomplished, and it was likely written somewhere in the mid-50s. So when Paul finished Romans, he sent a woman, a deaconess, Phoebe, from the church in Kenchrea, which was just like a suburb outside of Corinth, to hand deliver the letter, like to go to Rome and hand deliver this letter and make an introduction for the Apostle Paul. So the church in Rome wasn't planted by Paul. We don't even know who brought Christianity, the faith in Jesus, the awareness of Christ to Rome. Most likely somebody or a group of people who were influenced by the outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost in Jerusalem carried the gospel back to Rome and established a church there. And it could have been during persecution, times of persecution, where people were spread out. Paul, as we know from the book of Acts, was a naturally born Roman citizen. And so he looked forward to visiting Rome one day. But there were other things and other places that he needed to go before he could go there. So, as we'll recall, he obeyed the Holy Spirit's leading and journeyed back to Jerusalem, where it seemed as if all the prophecies came true. He lost his freedom. He knew that was going to happen. So it seems like it's unfortunate, but he was basically under Roman guard, sharing the gospel with the most elite people in the entire region. But eventually, Paul did appeal to Caesar, and eventually, as we read in the book of Acts yesterday, after a great shipwreck, finally made it to Rome as a prisoner. So Paul was imprisoned largely, like, the big conflict was that the gospel of Jesus was inclusive, that it was open to the Jews and Gentiles alike, which was the first great controversy in the Jerusalem church that needed to be worked out. Paul taught that God welcomed everyone who believed in Jesus, who was brought in, grafted into the family. And that was I mean, so heretical in Jewish thought for so many people. A huge reframing of perception and tradition for those who were devout Jews. And it was one of the reasons Paul found himself often in the middle of a mob, a riot. So in Romans, Paul will explain for us how he arrived at this. And he writes in a way that devout Jews could understand. And so he's beautifully going to connect Jesus to a story, the Hebrew story that had been taking place among the Jews all the way back to Abraham. So for us, all the way back to Genesis. Paul will explain that the Mosaic Law, that was sort of the centerpiece for worship and understanding of how to be devoted to God, had a purpose. While revealing the truth that nobody had ever been able to obey it perfectly, no one could be perfect before God on their own, except for one person, Jesus. And through him, everyone can be made righteous before God. There is a famous quote from William Tyndale way back when one of the original English translations were made. And he said, "The sum and whole cause of the writings of this epistle, this letter, is to prove that a man is justified by faith only." And so that's so much where that concept and theological understanding comes from, Paul's letter to the Romans. And so with that, we begin the letters. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through 17. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was a descendant of David according to the flesh, and was appointed to be the powerful Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Through him, we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the Gentiles, including you, who are also called by Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, loved by God, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because the news of your faith is being reported in all the world. God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in telling the good news about his Son, that I constantly mention you, always asking in my prayers that if it is somehow in God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I want very much to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I often planned to come to you, but was prevented until now, in order that I might have a fruitful ministry among you, just as I have had among the rest of the Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Psalm 9, 13 through 20. Be gracious to me, Lord. Consider my affliction at the hands of those who hate me. Lift me up from the gates of death so that I may declare all your praises. I will rejoice in your salvation within the gates of daughter Zion. The nations have fallen into the pit they made. Their foot is caught in the net they have concealed. The Lord has made himself known. He has executed justice, snaring the wicked by the work of their hands. Selah. The wicked will return to Sheol, all the nations that forget God. For the needy will not always be forgotten. The hope of the oppressed will not perish forever. Rise up, Lord. Do not let mere humans prevail. Let the nations be judged in your presence. Put terror in them, Lord. Let the nations know they are only humans. Selah. Proverbs 19, 4 and 5. Wealth attracts many friends, but a poor person is separated from his friend. A false witness will not go unpunished, and one who utters lies will not escape. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for another week. And what a way that the week ends. A false witness will not go unpunished, and one who utters lies will not escape. That is sobering. We take it on board, as we should, into our hearts and invite your Holy Spirit to shine the light of truth, which is not lies. And when we live in the truth, there's nothing to escape from. And so, Holy Spirit, come into that. And even now, as we begin the letters in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, we invite you to open our hearts, open our minds, give us understanding and clarity as we continue this grand journey through the Bible this year. We open our eyes and ears and become aware, Holy Spirit, that you are near, always leading and guiding us, that you are here. And we ask that you lead us. You are always leading. We ask for the strength and the awareness of how to follow. And we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home. The Daily Audio Bible app is home. Get connected. Stay connected. Be connected to the journey that we are on in any way that you can or that you will. The community section will get you connected, not only in the community, that's where the prayer wall lives, but also on the different social media platforms that we participate in and following along and interacting there is good. Finding announcements, seeing behind the scenes, being encouraged as we attempt to be light in a very dark place. In a very dark place. Technology is benign, but social media can be a very dangerous and dark place. And we're trying to be a light in the midst of it all. So that's where to get connected there. Check out the Daily Audio Bible Shop as well. There are resources in a number of different categories. Some for fun, some for depth. and you know, have a deeper dive into some of the things that we talk about here. All kinds of resources in the Daily Audio Bible shop. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, humble, genuine gratitude. This global campfire burns and is a place that's safe for us to gather in every day because we're in this together. And we have always been in this together. And it has been one of the most beautiful representations, in fact, the, by far, most beautiful representation of community, faith-based community that I have ever seen, and I've been in it my whole life. And so it's been a remarkable journey. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, profound gratitude. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. I do. I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey, Dev Fam, it's Carrie, a.k.a. Jesus Girl. I just wanted to pray for Larry from Iowa, his grandson, Brian. Lord, I come to you, and first we give you honor and glory and praise. Lord, I thank you for human heroes like Brian that are willing to put their own life on the line in order to fight these major fires, Lord. It's a dangerous job, and we praise you, Lord, that as of yet, there have been no problems, and Brian's came back safely from every trip. And Lord, as he heads to Idaho, I ask that yet again, Lord, you supernaturally protect him. Give him the stamina he needs to hold up under the heat, not of just of the being near the flames, but Lord, the heat of the weather also, God, I ask that you bring rain to the area that needs him there, Lord. I ask, God, that you protect him in his travels. Lord, it is wonderful to hear that he loves you, and I ask, God, that you just surround him, protect him, bring him back home, and that you draw him closer to you through this, Lord. May he be productive in helping to put these fires out, Lord, and may as little life and property be damaged as possible. We give you honor and glory. We love you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. In your name I pray. Y'all be blessed. Have a wonderful day. Bye.
My DAB family, this is Jamie in New Jersey, standing on the Word of God. I humbly ask you to please pray with me. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for your guidance. Thank you for reminding us to pray for others. Father, forgive us for the times we get so wrapped up in the things we are going through that we neglect the needs of those around us. Help us in our love and compassion for our brothers and sisters, the body of Christ, the church, and the strangers on the street. We all need your strength. Today, we lift up those around us and their needs. You have created us, and you are intimately aware of everything that we are living through. We ask that you would meet every need, bring them love and compassion, show them kindness, bring helpers along to carry their loads, and help us to stand in the gap for them. Never let us forget that even among the least of us, there we can find your love, and no matter the issue or circumstance, nothing is impossible with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for praying along with me, my brothers and sisters. I love each and every one of you. Have a good night.
Hi, it's Heather from Tennessee. I'm calling in for the father who is praying for his son, who's a fireman. He's going to go fight the wildfires in the West, and I think he's going to Idaho. And I'm just praying, Lord, I just pray that you will protect Brian. Keep all the firefighters safe from harm, Lord. I pray that you just will kick the winds down and bring some moisture into the area so these men who are brave and will feel your presence and will know, Lord, that you are God, and will protect them, Lord. I just pray that you will protect them and bring Brian home safe to his dad, who is, of course, worried about him, as we are usually about our children. And I pray, Lord, that you will just bring this dad some comfort. Allow him to be able to speak to his son when he can. And I pray, Lord, this will be a sweet time of connection between them, Lord. And I pray these things in Jesus' name.
Shalom, shalom, Daily Audio Bible. This is Dwayne from Wisconsin. All praise and glory to our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Calling in today for Mimi. She called in to let us know about her granddaughter and the word they are getting. What they are being told is this child will not survive outside of the womb. Lord, we are on our knees. We are lifting our hands high. We are begging for your mercy with understanding in this. We pray that it be thy will that this young child will survive outside of the womb, that she will grow up to be a light for you, Lord, a light in the darkness. We ask that you please be with the family during this time, and whatever thy will be, that they accept that, that you would give them peace and help them walk through this and comfort them. We lift this up to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.